Welcome back, everybody. If you wanted to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in on my discussion about Abrego Garcia, and you didn't get a chance to, Wisco Paul, I'm looking at you, Dana from La Crosse, Tim from Eau Claire, I apologize. We are going to pick this up tomorrow. Again, I'm going to go through and dismantle the lies being told by Stephen Miller, AG Pam Bondi, the president of El Salvador, and our president about Mr. Garcia's gang affiliation. It is a lie. It is a damn lie. There is no credible evidence that has been tested in any courtroom and then credited. It was only in preliminary proceedings where judges are basically required to give some credit to the government's assertions of gang affiliation. I'm going to go through it again tomorrow in great detail because that sort of a lie is so essential because it strikes at each one of our most fundamental rights in a democracy, and that is to due process. When the government wishes to strip us of our liberty and our property, to have our complaint, our objection to that seizure of person or property tested in a court of law to be heard, our most fundamental right, this administration has said they have no respect for, and they continue to lie to you about Mr. Garcia. And I ask you, why lie? If it is so clear, produce the evidence. Show us the receipts that Mr. Garcia is a dangerous gang member. Bring him back. Give us and him his day in court so we can, again, maybe regain some trust in your factual assertions that you make every day to us. The reason you don't is that you know you're lying. I know you're lying, and each and every one of you know that they're lying. That is unacceptable, especially when it comes to these most fundamental individual rights. Jack from Merrimack, sir, thank you for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I've got a couple things to say. I'll make it as quick as possible. First, continually pushing Mr. Abrego Garcia's case to the forefront, and now the claim of his totally undocumented and unproven so-called gang membership. It's purposely continuing to incite xenophobia, and it's partially to keep attention away from things like the multi-trillion-dollar welfare to the rich tax break and the disruption of helpful government agencies.
Yes.
But the lying about this, the lying is just a continuation of the lying that's been going on, and it's been bolstered by MAGA repetition since at least 2025, and there is a real purpose to that, too.
Yes.
And I'd like to remind the listeners with just a couple of quick quotes from the historian Hannah Arendt. This constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure no one believes anything anymore. Such a people derived of the power to think and judge is, without knowing and willing it, completely subjected to the rule of lies. You can do whatever you want. And the ideal subject of totalitarian rule is not the convinced Nazi. It's not the dedicated communist. It is people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, truth and false, no longer exists.
Thanks so much, Jack. So important. The point isn't that you believe the lie. The point is that you believe nothing. That is why our obligation collectively to investigate, to inform ourselves, to demand answers is more important now than perhaps it has ever been. Wisco Paul, very briefly, because I got another great guest for everybody. What you got this afternoon, sir?
Well, the Republican Party needs to stand up, but they're not going up. The Trump followers are going to believe whatever they're told. So right now, Maggie, the Supreme Court has to stand taller because he defied them. And if you can defy the Supreme Court, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, that's the fear. That's what we're walking right up to. They're lying every day about it. They're not facilitating squat. They're doing absolutely nothing. And what does that mean for your due process rights? Donald Trump talking about every day, sure, I'll look at sending citizens to prisons abroad. I forgot that part in the Constitution. Oh, wait, it's not there. Tim from Eau Claire, very briefly, sir, your thoughts this afternoon.
Well, you're talking about land. I think I just read online that Pete Hegseth said that China could destroy our entire carrier fleet and our Navy with their hypersonic missiles. Now, is he lying, or did he just stupidly divulge some sensitive information, or is he just trying to gin up money, you know, to get more money for the military?
All good questions, Tim. I know nothing about that particular subject, but Tim, here's my promise to you. I'm going to go look it up before tomorrow. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to try to get informed about that. And we can talk about that more tomorrow. Tim, I thank you for the question. Jacob Cal, if you could get Tim's question written down specifically, what exactly it was that he thought he heard, I will do a little fact check and we'll come back and talk about that tomorrow. When we talk about individual rights, my next guest is a champion for individual rights. We are all safer. We are all better off because of my next guest's work. Her name is Tanya Atkinson. You know her as the executive director of the plan. I can't even speak this afternoon. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Action Fund. Did I get that all out in like one fell swoop? Tanya, thank you so much for being here with us. These issues of individual rights, it sure seems to be situationally dependent, and by situationally dependent, it sure seems to depend on who the individual is before we decide that we get the same rights, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, the topic you were talking about before and now, you know, these really, it's really about fundamental human rights, who has control over, you know, people's bodies, and that means a lot of different things. Depending on the situation, and that is real, and that is what is happening.
Yeah, Tanya, I'm always, my brain naturally looks to connect things that happen in the news on a daily basis with other issues that don't get to, you know, that'll sort of be top of mind and then fall out of the headlines. And to me, when I talk to somebody about due process rights, I am talking about bodily autonomy, right? The due process means you don't get to seize my body and stick me in a prison cell without giving me the right to be heard, to challenge the evidence, to challenge the state, to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And it's not lost on me that when we turn to reproductive freedom, and I'm just going to say healthcare freedoms writ large, what we have yet again is essentially the same group of people, the same party leaders, saying to another, to women, you don't get to decide. I get to decide what's going to happen with your body. And we don't even get the benefit of a hearing. They just get to enact very vague laws that prevent our physicians from having candid conversations about what is best for our health, and thereby depriving us of bodily autonomy. I mean, I cannot help but to see these of a whole. It's the same groups of people, overwhelmingly white, rich, and male, who seem to be okay with depriving all sorts of other people, including women and brown and black folks, of basic rights that are essential to human dignity.
Right. Well, yes. And Maggie, thank you for the introduction, which was very kind. And your question, you know, this last question is one thing I'd like to touch on with regard to the people of Wisconsin, right? So it is, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. You probably tell by the accent that I'm from here. I go here. And, you know, in these last few statewide elections, the people of Wisconsin have connected those dots. They understand that what is impacting one, you know, issue or one group of people, right? That there's something coming next. So if we look at the turnout in the last statewide election, if we look at the turnout in the Supreme Court race, yes, in the last number of statewide elections, abortion certainly was one of the most, if not the most salient issue for voters. And And it's clear that the people of Wisconsin have not only like said what their values are, but they've said like, we see what you are doing. We want people in offices that reflect our values. And we know that it's not going to stop at one human right. That, you know, when the Supreme Court, you know, ruled a Dobbs decision and overturned Roe, and immediately healthcare providers, including Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, had to suspend abortion care until the 1849 law was clarified. The people of Wisconsin saw quickly and directly the impact of taking away some of these fundamental human rights and dignity and ability to make your own healthcare decisions. So yes, it is the same people in power that are, you know, sort of going after, if you will, many vulnerable groups. And I've witnessed the people of Wisconsin say, we see you.
Yes, and this is the piece, Tanya, that gives me so much hope. And folks, if you're just joining us, we got Tanya Atkinson. She's the president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Here's the thing that gives me hope. When we strip away the baloney and regular people, the folks I see in my grocery store, in my place of worship, in my workplace, on the road, standing in line at the bank, when people actually know the truth of the matter, they hear the stories of women that die from sepsis or lose their ability to ever have kids again because Republicans have effectively gagged their doctors and they can't even counsel them completely in a fulsome way about their healthcare choices. When they hear those stories, when the truth about Mr. Garcia is presented to them, that no court ever fully adjudicated through the testing of evidence that this man was a gang member, when that is clearly shown to be a lie, a grievous distortion, what people then can see is the humanity of the person and the cruelty, the harm that is being caused actively and intentionally. And I, for not one second, will ever believe that my fellow Wisconsinites, born and raised here, of here, by here, for here, would ever stand up and say, we want to be cruel to people and place their lives at issue by depriving them of rights. So when we can get past the political rhetoric about these topics, Tanya, I'm given a lot of hope because I'm seeing what you're seeing. And that's that Wisconsinites, when they are given the truth, see it clearly and reject cruelty for the sake of cruelty or cruelty that is metastasized and catalyzed by the deprivation of most basic human rights. I have every reason to be hopeful. A 10% margin in our last Supreme Court race. Tell us, Tanya, how you all at Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin are feeling about women's rights and the upcoming state Supreme Court decision that will in part decide some of these questions in the very near term here.
Yeah, there is a lot. You know, Planned Parenthood Advocates is ready for moving forward on the next chapter of protecting and expanding reproductive freedom. When Planned Parenthood Wisconsin was forced to suspend abortion services, the commitment that PPWI made to the people of Wisconsin is that we would restore access to abortion as soon as we could and protect and expand access to the full range of reproductive health care across the entire state. And there is two really important cases that are, in front of the current Supreme Court, and they will have a lot of impact on Wisconsinites' ability to access reproductive health care.
Tanya, if you can hang out for one more segment, I want to tell people about each of those cases, what's different about them, and what impact the decisions in those cases could have on your family's individual rights and your ability to plan your family in the way that works for you. I've got Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, with me. You're not going to want to miss our last segment of the